Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and I am honored that we get to spend just a small portion of our day together studying God's Word. When we were studying last time, which I will tell you here more in a minute if you want to study last week's lesson again, we're in the book of Exodus, and we began a new study for the new year. We're going to be looking at the book of Exodus for a couple of weeks. We're in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10, and we just studied that great story how Moses was providentially saved there in the bulrushes, in the reeds, as I like to say. Of course, that is my last name, great biblical family, as I like to often joke. But in all seriousness, Moses was saved from certain death due to the smartness of Jochebed, his mother, and also the courageousness of his sister Miriam. As we continue with our lesson this week, join with me in Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, because the Bible says, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown." See, now here's the thing. We don't have much recorded about Moses' early life growing up, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up with the best education around. He grew up in the palace of Pharaoh. But none of that's recorded for us because it's not essential. He looked out and he saw his brethren. Those would be the Hebrew people. And he looked upon their burdens and he saw an Egyptian that was smiting or beating up a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was nobody else around, he went up and he killed the Egyptian, and then he tried to bury his body there in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two of the Hebrews strove together, and they said to him that did the wrong, that's Moses, "Why did you smite your fellow?" He said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over me? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared, said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh, that would be his grandfather, heard this, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs of water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up, helped them water their flock. When they came to rule their father, he said, "How is it that you are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew enough water for us and the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "Where is he? And why is it that you've left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. She bare him a son, and called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in this land." Let's pause here. Moses fled. Now, it's thought Moses to be about 40 years old at this point. That would make sense. Moses is 120 when he passes, and there are three 40-year periods in his life. The first 40 years, growing up in the house of Pharaoh. The second 40, which we are about to begin, which is not long at all. It's just a handful of verses here at the end of the chapter. And that would be 40 years in the land of the wilderness, there at the base of Mount Horeb, which is where he will receive the Ten Commandments. And then the final 40 years of Moses' life, well, he's leading God's people as they wander. So he goes and helps these people. Reuel is a man. He's also known as Jethro. He's a priest of Midian, we learn from chapter 3 and verse 1, and that becomes Moses' father-in-law. Zipporah is his wife. And it came to pass, verse 23, in the process of time, that king of Egypt died, his father-in-law, his grandfather. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of their bondage. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant he'd made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and he had respect. Literally, in Hebrew, he knew them. I want us to just note here very quickly that God always keeps his promises. Now, it took him a while. We're going to learn that there's about 430 years since they went in to Egypt that they're there. But God always keeps his promises, friends, do we? As we've already mentioned, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, he kept the flock of his father-in-law. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. He will come back a lot to this mountain. See, Moses doesn't realize it, I would say, but God has been training him for the past 40 years. that he is going to be leading the people through this desert, through this wilderness that he grew up in. He spent 40 years here. He's going to come back to Horeb time and time and time again. This would be familiar territory to him. Now notice here in chapter 3, verse 2, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This is what we often call the story of the burning bush, and miraculous as it is, this bush continues to burn. As we go through here, I don't read of anywhere where the Bible specifically says, oh, by the way, this burning bush quit burning. I see, oh, by the way, this burning bush continues to burn. Moses goes near. Wait, first he says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, because I want to know why the bush is not consumed. He's curious. He goes to investigate. Well, I would too. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the middle of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. I love that phrase, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. You know, when God spoke to Isaiah, Elijah, Elijah, Samuel, Samuel, Moses, Moses. Oftentimes when God, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oftentimes in Scripture, when God calls somebody by their name twice to add emphasis repeatedly, back to back, something significant is about to happen in their lives. Now notice, Moses has the correct answer. He says, here am I. And he said, draw not hither. That's the angel speaking from that burning bush. Or God speaking from it. He says, take off your shoes from your feet, for the place whereon thou stands is holy ground. Moses' life is about to be changed forever. He has to approach God with the right attire and with the right mindset before God will give him some kind of knowledge. I want us to think about that as we very quickly pause here to get some information about the Wood Church of Christ, where I'm honored to be the pulpit minister. So Brother Jim Dearman is going to tell you about that. Then I will literally be right back in about 25 seconds, and we will continue our study of Exodus.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and thank you for sticking around. If you're just now tuning in, my name is Justin Reed. This is Reading the Word. We're in Exodus chapter 3, and ready for verse 6. God is manifesting himself, more or less, in the burning bush. And he has just said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I, Lord. And he said, take off your shoes from your feet, for the ground which thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, verse 6, chapter 3, Exodus, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Well, I might have been just a little bit afraid as well. I mean, he would have heard about God. Now, not so much growing up in the palace of Pharaoh, but he would have heard about it in the wilderness. And now he is having what is often referred to as a theophany. You may be familiar with the word epiphany. That's kind of where you come to yourself, have that aha moment. Well, an epiphany, or a theophany, theo meaning God. It's where you have a connection, a conversation with God. It happens a handful of times throughout Scripture. But notice, God knows what is happening. Verse 7. He says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people there in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrow. How comforting is that? That God said to Moses, I know their sorrow. Just like today, when we pray to him, Jesus, being our intercessor, says, Father, I know what he's going through because I was there. I lived on that earth. I know what it's like to be upset, be disappointed, be sad, be hungry, be happy. Jesus knows all about that. Here, God knows their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them to out of that land into a good land and a large land flowing with milk and honey, a place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites, people they will have to throw out in the book of Joshua. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have also seen the oppression therewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people out of Egypt. Now, a different Pharaoh that Moses is going to have to go to, but nonetheless, he's still going to have to go before Pharaoh. But he's going to make some excuses. Time and time again. Four excuses he's going to make in chapters 3 and chapter 4. And that's where we're going to spend the rest of our study here today and continuing onward into our next study, Lord willing. But God says to Moses, I want you to go tell that Pharaoh to let my people go. So Moses said unto God, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now notice, he's got an eye problem. Who am I that I should go? Why is it me? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When you have brought the people out of the land of Egypt, you will serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said, behold, when I go to the children of Israel, this is another excuse. He says, one, who am I? And God said, I'm with you. It doesn't matter who you are. Our second excuse, he says, when I go to the children of Israel and I say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they'll say, what's his name? God, what shall I tell them? Who should I say has sent me? And God says in verse 14, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto thee. Boy, that's awful short and concise, isn't it? You know, Jesus Christ quotes this. In fact, Jesus Christ not only quotes this in Matthew, he also has seven I am statements in the book of John. I am. Notice God does not say, I was that I was, or I will be that I will be, or I was that I will be, or I am that I was. No, present. That is a present tense. I am that I am. In other words, God says, I always have been, I am now, and I forever will be. There's not going to be another God. We have the God that we need. Verse 15, just some words of comfort. Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Now go and gather them and tell them what I have told you. I am that I am. Oh, how wonderful that would be for Moses. How wonderful this will be for the children of Israel. Now, it's still going to take them four chapters and a little while of time, which we will be getting to here momentarily, Lord willing, in our next study. But just think, they cried out to the Lord because of their bondage and because of their oppression. And the Lord says unto Moses, I have heard their pleas. Now go unto them. Tell them I'm going to let them go. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Who am I? I am the great I am. As we close out our lesson here, before we will continue next week, Lord willing, think about the fact that God hears our prayers today if we're with Him. Now, if we're against Him, if we're opposite to Him, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin in our life, then God doesn't hear our prayers. Those that don't love His law, Proverbs 28, 9, He doesn't hear their prayers. But those of us who are living faithful, God is hearing our prayers, and He answers them in accordance with His will. If you would like to catch any other episode in this study of Exodus or anything else we've talked about, my website, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Or you can just Google my name, Justin, R-E-E-D, and then click on, or also type in Justin Reed, Reading the Word, and it should be that first result there. Thank you so much for studying with me. Lord willing, let's do this again next week, same time, same place, shall we? Until then, may the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.